hope that the most compelling inspiration for your happiness project is the book you're listening to. Of course, because it's the story of my happiness project, it reflects my particular situation, values, and interests. Well, you might think, if everyone's happiness project is unique, why should I bother to read about her project? During my study of happiness, I noticed something that surprised me. I often learn more from one person's highly idiosyncratic experiences than I do from sources that detail universal principles or cite up-to-date studies. I find greater value in what specific individuals tell me worked for them than in any other kind of argument. And that's true even when we seem to have nothing in common. In my case, for example, I would never have supposed that a witty lexicographer with Tourette syndrome, a 20-something tubercular saint, a hypocritical Russian novelist, and one of the founding fathers would be my most helpful guides. But so it happened. I hope that listening to this account of my happiness project will encourage you to start your own. Whenever you listen to this, and wherever you are in the right place to begin. Getting started. I'd always vaguely expected to outgrow my limitations. One day, I'd stop twisting my hair and wearing running shoes all the time and eating exactly the same food every day. I'd remember my friends' birthdays. I'd learn Photoshop. I wouldn't let my daughter watch TV during breakfast. I'd read Shakespeare. I'd spend more time laughing and having fun. I'd be more polite. I'd visit museums more often. I wouldn't be scared to drive. One April day, on a morning just like every other morning, I had a sudden realization. I was in danger of wasting my life. As I stared out the rain-spattered window of a city bus, I saw that the years were slipping by. What do I want from life anyway? I asked myself. Well, I want to be happy. But I had never thought about what made me happy or how I might be happier. I had much to be happy about. I was married to Jamie, the tall, dark, and handsome love of my life. We had two delightful young daughters, 7-year-old Eliza and 1-year-old Eleanor. I was a writer after having started out as a lawyer. I was living in my favorite city, New York. I had close relationships with my parents, sister, and in-laws. I had friends. I had my health. I didn't have to color my hair. But too often, I sniped at my husband or the cable guy. I felt dejected after even a minor professional setback. I drifted out of touch with old friends. I lost my temper easily. I suffered bouts of melancholy, insecurity, listlessness, and free-floating guilt. As I looked out the blurry bus window, I saw two figures cross the street. A woman about my age trying simultaneously to balance an umbrella, look at her cell phone, and push a stroller carrying a yellow slickered child. The sight gave me a jolt of recognition. That's me, I thought. There I am. I have a stroller, a cell phone, an alarm clock, an apartment, a neighborhood. Right now, I'm riding the same crosstown bus that I take across the park, back and forth. This is my life, but I never give any thought to it. I wasn't depressed, and I wasn't having a midlife crisis, but I was suffering from midlife malaise, a recurrent sense of discontent and almost a feeling of disbelief. Can this be me, I'd wonder, as I picked up the morning newspapers or sat down to read my email. Can this be me? My friends and I joked about the beautiful house feeling when, as in the David Byrne song, Once in a Lifetime, we'd periodically experience the shock of thinking, this is not my beautiful house. Is this really it? I found myself wondering and answering, yep, this is it. But though at times I felt dissatisfied that something was missing, I also never forgot how fortunate I was. When I woke up in the middle of the night, as I often did, I'd walk from one room to another to gaze at my sleeping husband tangled in the sheets and my daughters surrounded by their stuffed animals, all safe. I had everything I could possibly want, yet I was failing to appreciate it. Bogged down in petty complaints and passing crises, weary of struggling with my own nature, I too often failed to comprehend the splendor of what I had. I didn't want to keep taking these days for granted. The words of the writer Colette had haunted me for years. What a wonderful life I've had! I only wish I'd realized it sooner. I didn't want to look back at the end of my life or after some